How many of you have been enjoying our series, the nun series? Yes? Yes, yes. Oh, thank you. Thank you for a couple of you that are enjoying it. It's very encouraging. Yes, I feel like I can go. Thank you for the encouragement, right? So we've been doing the nun nation, if you're new to the series and if you're visiting here for the first time. And just a recap, the nun are none of the above. When you do the survey, that none of the above mean they are not religiously affiliated to anybody. So according to the Pew Research, 16% in 2006 in America were not affiliated to any religion. That jumped to 23% in 2016. Now in Santa Clara, the number is way higher, 46.44 are not affiliated to any religion. Okay. So we've been talking about what should we do as a church to have relationship and to engage with outsider, people that do not know the Lord, or people do not talk about God. How can we engage with them? This is the whole thing. So this is not on the outsiders. This is on us. You remember that I said that people not knowing God is not their problem. It's because of us. That we're not living a Christ-like life. That they don't see Christ in us. That they don't see God in us. So, we're taking this on us, not on them. It's on us, okay? That we're starting with that premise. So today we're going to do relationship. So there has to be a shift in relationship in order for us to engage with those who have not heard about God or have heard about Jesus or don't know us. So what's the big idea? The big idea, of course, is engaging with religiously unaffiliated. That's our big idea. And we talked about branding, marketing, pop culture last week. And I want to say something here, that today's sermon is not on branding or marketing, but substantive, authentic relationship. Okay? We are going to go beyond slick logo and slick website and talk about relationship. And the scripture that came to me when I was preparing this sermon was from Acts chapter 2, 46 to 47. And in Acts chapter 2, 46 to 47, it says the disciples were with in one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. Right? And the Lord added to the church daily who were saved. So we will keep that in mind. You know one of our bass players in our worship team, the one who works at Google, the Googler guy, right? He was a closet bass player. I'm on to something. I'm on to bass these days, okay? So he wanted to play bass. He had this passion of playing bass. But he played to himself. And nobody knew that he was playing bass or he wanted to play bass. His goal was to play with the worship team Sunday and provide that gift and talent. So one day, our worship leader, Miss Sharon, found out that he wanted to play bass. And his ambition was to be part of the worship team. So she took him out of the closet. Not within months or years, but within weeks, she said, "You're going to play with us. Coming Sunday, you'll be part of the worship team." Of course, he was nervous. He said, "Can I do it?" But the rest is history. You see him every Sunday playing bass. Most of the Sunday when he's here, you see him playing bass. Why am I saying this? It's because relationship brings self-realization. Okay? Relationship is self-awareness. When you are in relationship with somebody, it makes you aware of the things that you do greatly and the things that you do poorly. If you're not in relationship with anybody, you're not going to know your strength and your weaknesses. But being in relationship with somebody can bring the best out of you, and sometimes, unfortunately, it can bring the worst out of you. But in a much deeper level, when you encounter God, when you are in relationship with God, then you are aware of who you are. Okay? Let me explain this. Many of you came here this morning to worship God and Christ. Why? Because you knew, or you are convicted, that He is the way, the truth, and the life. You are here because of your understanding of Jesus. You're here because of your understanding of God. You're here because of your conviction that He is the true God. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. That is relationship. There is awareness in there. When you go a little deeper, you are aware that you are a child of God. That you were created in God's image. That is self-awareness. That would not have happened if you were not in relationship with God. So, self-awareness in its purest form is being one with God. So relationship is self-awareness, relationship is self-realization, but in that purest form of self-awareness is that you are one with God. That is the beginning of relationship. That is the beginning of relationship. You cannot have full relationship with anybody unless you know who you are. Okay? So I know this is meant for a compliment. When you say, when a husband introduce a wife, they'll say, "Oh, this is my better half." Have you heard that? Yeah? Right. It's supposed to be a compliment. It's very flattering. The thing is, what do you do with your other half? Right? You're not sure with your other half. You're just giving your better half. You are 50% full and 50% empty or confused. If you don't give yourself totally 100% to a friend, to your spouse, to your boyfriend, to your girlfriend, then you will have problem. Because you don't know who you really are. In marriage, it's totally in. All in, not better half. You're all in. And that all in comes from awareness of who you are. Relationship doesn't work because somebody has not worked out their issues in life. You ask anyone, relationship has not worked because someone has not worked out their issues and say, "I'm going to go and find myself." So if self-awareness is being one with God, then what is the step that we can take? What is the step that we can take? Meditation and reflection is a path to self-awareness. See, my mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall give understanding. The psalmist wrote that, Psalm 49, verse 3. Pause and reflection. So these days, what I do is that I need to pause and reflect. And when I do that, it could be early morning before everyone wakes up, or later in the night. When I'm alone, then I pause and reflect. And I ask, God, am I doing the right thing? God, clear the noise so I can hear your voice. God, what is it that you want Santa Clara First Baptist Church to do? You know, I paused and reflect. I paused and reflect. And this morning, I paused and reflect again, early morning. And I was praying. I was praying for everyone. And I was praying for the movement of the Holy Spirit. I said, Holy Spirit, this is your church. Only you can touch us. Only you can speak to the people. Lord Jesus, this is your church. You are our leader. Help me to focus on you and follow you. That's my meditation this morning. So, when do you pause? When do you pause and reflect? Do you pause and reflect? If we don't pause and reflect and meditate, then we are half full. We're not aware of what God wants us to do. Because we are going on empty. We're driving on empty. We're going everywhere, running to the east, to the west, north, south, trying to just make the day, just get through the day. There is no time to reflect and pause because the calendar is full. The moment we get out of our bed and the feet touch the ground, we're running. We're on the go. When do we pause and reflect? But if we don't do that, we're running our own life. We're in control of our lives. And we are not challenged because relationship challenges us. Relationship challenges us. When we work with people, it challenges us. It helps us. When we are in relationship with God, we know that He is in control. Self-realization without relationship with God is self-deception. It means you can do it on your own. Without God, you're thinking, I can do without God. I can do without God. So the first thing in relationship is that we meditate, we pause, we reflect on who God is and who we are with God. And identity with Christ will determine your relationship with other people. Your identity without God or without Christ will determine your relationship with other people. Are we good? All right. Any questions or I can move on? Yeah? We can move on? All right, great. Thank you. Now, we're doing this. So the next one is relationship is friction. Okay? Now, in every relationship, because we're dealing with people, there is interpersonal friction. Okay, so friction is not good or bad. It's how we respond or react to friction that will determine whether it's good or not. Right? Friction is force. When you drive the car this morning, when your will touched that hard concrete, it's because of the force, that grip that you get that makes the car run. See? So you got here. So friction is force. So in some way, a pure form of friction is what? Energy. Okay? Inertia. So energy can be positive or negative. We want to talk about positive energy this morning. Just like I got positive energy when I came in this morning from all of you and say, how are we doing with the sermon? And you say, yes, Pastor. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for the positive energy. I love it. Yes. Amen. So let's go back to the early church. Do you remember? In early church, in Acts chapter 6, there was this complaint to the church leaders because the church leaders were not distributing food to the Hellenist widows. Can you imagine that? In a church, there's Hellenist Christians, Hebrew Christians, and the church leaders decided to give food only to the Jewish widow. How do you think that would go? The people were not happy. There was a complaint. They were supposed to take care of the widow. Daily distribution of food. So the complaint was brought to the apostles. And the apostles said, they didn't say, what are you talking about? You know? Why are you bringing this complaint? We're doing all right. They didn't say that. Just like most leaders, not me, are very defensive, right? I don't know why they call it defensive. Because people who are defensive, they always go offensive. Did you see that? I mean, people, those who are defensive, are always on offensive. They will come and jump on you. Like, bah, 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 you know? They wouldn't let you get a word in. So I don't know why they call it defensive. So they decided to call a meeting and ask the congregation to choose 7 people full of the Holy Spirit of God so they can wait on the table. It means to distribute the food so the apostles can devote their time to prayer and reading the Word of God. What happened with this friction? It pleases the whole congregation. And you know, Philip, Stephens, they are the great evangelists among these 7 people that wait on the table. They were not pastors. They were not like the leaders out there. They served tables. They distributed food, but they changed the church because they did awesome, mighty signs and miracles. So friction is not negative. It's how we take friction. In relationship, there's going to be friction. How you respond to the friction is going to determine the outcome. In this case, it's pleasing to God and to people because they use friction as a good energy, positive energy. Conflict is not bad itself. Conflict makes us better. But when you flee from conflict, when you don't want to confront conflict and friction, you have unresolved issues all your life. So, conflict in the East is the same in the West. Conflict in the South and the North, you cannot outrun your unresolved issues. I cannot run away from unresolved issues from Indiana to California and say, bye-bye, unresolved issues. No, it follows with you. Pain follows wherever you go. Sorrows follow wherever you go. You got to deal with the friction with the help of the Holy Spirit. So, unity is not the absence of friction, but the presence of peace. Even the disciples, even though they are in one accord, they were in one accord. It doesn't mean there was no conflict or friction. It was all there. The difference is that they had God's peace. The thing is, friction without God's peace creates faction. That's why we have faction, because God's not in it. We gave the friction over to the devil, to our enemy, and he used to create division and faction among us. Love one another. By this, the world will know that you are my disciples, Isn't that what God said? What Jesus said? There is no greater evidence for God in our life when we love one another. If we are going to reach to those 46% population in Santa Clara, don't shout from the rooftop. Just love one another. And they will know that we are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go back here, another one. Relationship is collaboration. Collaboration is a big word here in Silicon Valley. Right? Sounds like it's a great idea. But let me tell you that collaboration is not a new idea. Did you know that? It didn't come from Apple, Google, Yahoo, Tesla, Microsoft. No, it didn't come from that. Collaboration was there in the beginning between God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Their relationship was collaborative. Let me explain it to you. When God says, let there be water, or let there be dry land, let's say, right? Or let there be fruits and trees and grass. Did it happen that way? No, let there be fish. Then were there fish or something else came out? You know, God said, okay, ready? Here we go. Jesus, you ready? Holy Spirit, you ready? Let there be fish, and then stones pop up. Would that be a collaboration? No. But you see, let there be light, there was light. Let, you know, morning, evening. Everything that the Father spoke happened because of the collaboration of the Word, which is Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It's a perfect collaboration among the three God, the triune God. See, collaboration is the heart of creation. Collaboration is the heart of innovation. In Silicon Valley, even if Google and Apple are going at it, if it's going to benefit both of them, the CEOs will come together and collaborate on the ideas to innovate something because it gains both of them. So, this collaboration among God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, how is this handed down to us so we can practice here on earth? The design is programmed in the spiritual gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12, it says, you are one body with different parts. It's my hand, my leg, right? My body, nose. One body with different parts. God gave to one body different ministries and spiritual gifts. Did you find that in the Bible or not? Yes or not sure? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13. Read it, right? And the Word of God says, all of you are going to use together so the hand will benefit the feet will benefit the head. You use this together for the glory of God, for the edification of the body. What is that? It's collaboration. But if the hand says to the nose, you're on your own. Right? How are you going to tickle your nose? Huh? How are you going to do it? Right? Everybody. So when we come here as a body of Christ, we use all of our gifts for the edification. So celebration, collaboration is celebration of gifts and talents. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through laying of hands and celebration of gifts and talents for edification. Each of you has psalms and has teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. And I want to talk about this. So relationship is connection. So I was with one of the guy, the men, at the soccer field during my boys when they were playing soccer. And I found out that he's one of the best salesmen in his company. We're talking about this. So I asked him, okay, so in the past, when you go to trade conventions, like in Chicago, the car shows are so big, right? It's a huge deal. People come there and they will try to sell their product right there, right? They will try to sell the product. Do you want to buy this thing, you know, buy my computers or cars? Or they used to do that in the past. Now things have changed. What do they do now? They exchange business cards and try to set lunch or dinner appointment. Say, can I buy you a lunch? So they can gain a client. And I was talking about this and said, is this true on your part? And say, yes, yes, yes. Nowadays, it's all about relationship. And what he says, he even took another step. No, I take one more step. Because everyone is busy and they can't get out of the office, even though they say they work from 9 to 5, most people work like 10 hours. They can't leave. So what I do is I buy lunch and go to them. I say, I will buy lunch and come to your office. Let's have conversation. I said, yeah. We have a thing or two to learn from the business world. Because what do? We're sitting here and waiting somebody will bring lunch for us. Right? Whereas this sales guy is buying lunch and going to the office to gain a client. That's the difference. Did you know that Jesus said, use your earthly wealth to make friends? I was surprised too. Jesus said, use your earthly wealth to gain friends. So when you go home in the kingdom, you'll be welcome into eternity. The friends that have come to know the Lord because you have used your money will welcome you and say, hey, good job. And he said that, Jesus said that, because he said, the businessmen in the world are smarter than you guys. That's what he exactly said. Because remember that guy? If somebody owe 100 to the master, what did the manager do? 80. You owe only 80, okay? You owe only 50. He wrote down, slashed down. What is he doing? He's gaining friends. Those guys are so happy. Oh, he did this for me. We got a thing or two to learn from the business world in terms of connecting to other people. Because authentic connection creates committed community. And committed community is a compassionate community. And without God, there is no redeeming relationship. On August 28th, we are going out to worship in the park. Many of you come to that worship. This year, I want to make a humble plea to all of you. Let us all come together for greater impact. I need your help. I need your help. We need each other. If we come together, much can be accomplished. Some of you may feel like, oh, this is a chance for me to go and do something else because we are not in the sanctuary. I would like you to pray about that. You may not be in the pavilion, but you could be sitting where the kids are in the park. Remember where the swing sets are? Kids can ride on the horse, playing in the sand. Maybe you can just sit there. And if people come up to you and say, why are you here? Then you can share why you're there. Or you could be there at the pond. If you don't want to be in the pavilion. And if people come up to you and say, oh, I'm from First Baptist Santa Clara. And I'm here because of these things. And if the conversation go a little bit more, then I want you to ask, Can I take you out for lunch? Can I buy you a dinner? Or even better, Alan Grigerman, in The Necessity of Stranger, secular author for company, he says, a stranger is no longer a strategy, it is a necessity for business to grow. How many strangers are here this morning? Aren't you getting tired of seeing each other like all through the year? I know you guys are so handsome and pretty, but I mean, at a certain point, right, we got to have some strangers. The necessity of strangers. And because of this, and we're going to go into the communion, I want your heart to be ready to come to the table. Because of this, next Sunday, Sunday before, the 21st, August 21st, at 6 p.m. When is it again? August? At? This is what I envision. I ask the church members to come out there, and we're going to pray. It would be great if we can surround the whole pavilion with our members and hold hands and pray that God will rain down grace and His love on that day. That place will be just full of the presence of God. And people who are hurting and confused, seeking for answers on that day, they will feel it. And we're going to pray on August 21st at 6 p.m. for August 28th. I invite you to come out and pray. And after that, you can do your Pokemon Go. There's a lot of them, right? Can we do that? Can we do that? We have to engage other people. Because relationship is communion. See, communion is a covenant of fellowship and forgiveness. And forgiveness is the core of authentic friendship. Without God, there is no authentic forgiveness. When you communicate with people, you're communicating God's grace. When you're communicating with other people, you're communicating God's grace. Your conversation and communication is God's grace. The gospel is communicating God's grace and welcoming them to the table of many. This table is a communication that you are home, that we want to welcome you home. And if you have been searching to find your way home this morning, welcome home. This is your place. This is your blaze of grace. This is your space of grace. And we want to communicate that grace to you, that we are so glad that you are here to commune with God. In communion, there are three things. You can't have communion without forgiveness. Without forgiveness, you can't have fellowship with God and with one another. Without fellowship, without forgiveness, you can't build friendship. So if there is unforgiveness this morning, somebody has hurt you, your family, your friends, people in your workplace, and you carry this big hurt in your heart, I pray that the Spirit of God will communicate His grace where it hurts this morning. Because that's what God did for us. He sent His Son and communicate His grace and said, yeah, you're good enough, I'll die for you. When people tell you that you're not good enough, God said, no,
if you're good enough, I'm going to let my son die for you. Isn't that great? Worship team, can you come up here as we get ready for communion? I'm going to ask those who are going to serve in communion to come forward. I'm going to ask Pastor Dan Griffith to help me. This table is for everyone that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to be a Baptist, you don't have to be a Lutheran or a Methodist. This is for those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You're welcome to this table. And this is normally what we do. We pray for the cup and the bread, and they will be in different stations, and you can go to any of the stations. And the good news is this bread is gluten-free. Okay? So, peace of God be with you. Yeah? Right. Pastor, I'm going to ask you to pray for the cup, but I'm going to... On the night that our Lord Jesus Christ was going to be betrayed, he took the bread, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body. Do it in remembrance of me as often as you can." Let us remember the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Can we pray? Dear God, thank you for your sacrifice. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Dan, can you pray?